Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, today we get to kind of like close out the series that we've been focusing on making disciples of every generation. And as a church, how we're going to do that is to reach, raise, and release people. And so over the last few weeks, we have, just to give you a bit of a recap, we have focused on reach. If you were here for that, Pastor Kane and Pastor Jess preached a great word around what it is to live a life in the context of our values around reaching people. Or what does it look like to make disciples, and who are you discipling? We looked at what it looks like to be someone who's aware of his presence and making his presence a priority in our everyday. And so not asking the question when I come into church, am I aware of his presence? But am I aware of his presence in my workplace, in my home, in my school, in my university, wherever I find myself, am I aware of his presence? And then we ask the question around, are we seeing the miraculous and the supernatural take place in our everyday? Because we believe that miracles are normal. Well, the greatest miracle is that of salvation. And I love hearing the testimonies that are coming back from people who have actually stepped out and stepped into a place of being willing to reach someone with the good news of the gospel. I think I remember telling you that I had a moment where I was like, God, I can't do this thing if I'm just going to be in the church and I'm a frustrated evangelist. I need to reach people. Do you want to hear a funny story? I went to the dog park, and I'll rewind one. I went to my gym. I've been going to the same gym I told you all for like the last 8 years. I've been reaching out there and I've been sowing seeds, and I felt like the Lord was like, do this one thing. I was like, okay. So I offered to take my window cleaning materials and go and clean their windows. And they rejected my cleaning and said, we don't want you to hurt your shoulder, but we'll take your supplies and we'll do it ourselves. And I was like, okay, great, awesome. And so I had the opportunity just to love on my gym. And I was kind of really hoping that something would open up, as we've all made a commitment to ask the Lord, who are we going to reach? And who are we reaching out to, and how we're going to do that? And so I did that and I didn't see anything. And I was like, it's a little bit frustrating. Have you ever been there? Yes. I went to the dog park with my dog and my housemate's dog. And we were down there walking our dogs. And I'd had a conversation with a guy who had been going to the gym that I'd been at. And I hadn't seen him for a while. He'd been on holidays and come back and just was like, didn't get back into it. And I was like, okay. We started having a great conversation. It was awesome. Left the dog park. And I was like, oh, it's not there either, Lord. Okay. I come back to the dog park 2 days later. And I'm walking through the dog park to take our dogs home. And he's there kicking his football with his son. And I walk past and he's like, oh, Psalm 23, hey? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, this is so random. Who loves it when the Lord just turns up in random moments? The Bible says to always be prepared and ready for an answer for the faith that you have. And in that moment, I'm like, how did we get to Psalm 23? I was wearing a t-shirt the week before that had a big Psalm 23 on it that said, the Lord is my shepherd. And so it provoked in him. He said, yeah. I said, I went home and I looked it up. And he goes, do you know it? And I said, yep. So I started to recite, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I get through the thing, and I shall fear no evil, as I'm reciting it back to him. He's like, yeah, I like that part. You know what? I didn't get to lead him in a moment right there in a prayer or like a salvation gospel response. But something's happening. And then the Lord took me through three different other encounters in the same 48-hour window where I ran into different people that over the last 7 or 8 years that I've been sowing into. And the Lord started to remind me, Cherie, I am at work in this space. Who's having stories of encounters and different things that are happening as they've been again to sow and talk and have conversations with people? How exciting is it that when God starts to move in those spaces? It's a beautiful thing. But the thing is that what we value actually determines how we behave. And so when we actually take time to consider, God, I value that your purpose is to make disciples of every generation and every nation. And how I can be a part of that is I can reach people, I can raise people, and I can release people. You know, I love watching people step into these places where sometimes we're a little uncomfortable. Can I share with you a story which just I told Aaron the other day? It amazed me. I was like, oh, do you remember when? Back in August last year, Jeremiah and Audrey, if you could stand up for me. This incredible couple down here on the front row. If you haven't met them yet, an amazing couple who came to me and said, hey, can we catch up? Can we have dinner? Can we have lunch? Caught up with them on a Sunday after the service, had lunch with them, caught up during the week with them and had lunch with dinner with them and had different conversations about how they could grow in their gifts and their talents. And 8 months ago, is it 8 months ago? I can't count. But August last year, both Audrey and Jeremiah stepped out for the first time and went out onto the street with the street teams. Now, this is what's really funny, because now he's all up over social media. Now he's all up in people's faces down the street and having conversations with people, and people are getting saved. He's dragging them in. They're getting discipled. It's amazing what God is doing through this young man's life. But do you know, in August last year, he had never shared the gospel on the street with anybody. Now he's teaching others how to do that very thing. My friend Jonathan was so right when he said, it just starts by taking a step. Yeah. Taking a step in a space where you haven't done something before. Can you give it up for these guys as they just take their seats? Thank you guys, you're a gift and you're a blessing. We love you. And today I want to share with you the last portion of this message around reach, raise, release. Thomas and Matt spoke so beautifully into raising up the next generation and the significance that we play in people's lives as they get saved or as they are in the body of Christ and our role to raise them up. But today I actually want to share with you, before we do that, on the screen there'll be our values. Can we bring that up, guys, if that's possible? Our values around reach, raise, release and how they fit in. These values aren't new. We've had them here for over the last 5 years. Some of them got added on over the process of time. But reach is making disciples is not optional. Miracles are normal and His presence is our priority. Under raise is God's word is our foundation. So when you're in the context of covenant family, which is the other one, that you actually ask the question, well, you can ask the question, have you prayed about it? And what does God's word say about it? And then in the raise component, which we're going to cover today, in the release component, sorry, is this idea that love gives generously. God so gave His life for us that we are so generous in our generosity to actually give back to Him and to be released to serve Him. We're going to look at honor affirms value. We're going to look at freedom is a responsibility of every believer. But these are our values as a church. They are the behaviors that we would love to be, not even love to be, should be as a part of being a follower of Jesus. Do you agree? These are significant, important, and maybe you could take a photo of them and consider about how they outwork in your life. There's a question that goes with each one. And today we're going to talk about this idea in the release component of what it means to be released to serve and to lead, because we're serving for God's glory. The idea is that God would take our lives in where we're at and take us on a journey to become all that He has called us to be, to serve Him and to be released to do that in the context of our everyday, and for us today, in the context of your local family, your local church. And we're going to deep dive into this today. Funny enough, I was thinking about my own journey. I've been in form of ministry for the last 20-something years, 20, 23, 24 years, on a staff role of ministry. And I look at today and I go, I don't even can't really tell you how I got here to where I am today. It was just one faithful step of obedience at a time following the Lord. But what's crazy is that I can actually remember the pastor who saw the gold inside of me. Who's grateful for people that see the gold in somebody? I'll tell you what, if it had not been for Ron Mallon in my life, I may have just been a regular kid who got caught up in other things, maybe got caught up in going after the things that maybe that God didn't have for me. But because there was a man in my life, a pastor in my life, a leader in my life who actually saw the gold in me and didn't stumble over the dirt that was in the way, actually called it out of my life. I'm so grateful for them. For him and his wife, Susan, incredible couple who just actually chose to look past the punk kid who wanted to be in a band and make Jesus famous and recognize that there was a gift and grace on her life to declare and to proclaim and to use words and to actually not sing, because that's not my greatest gift, but to actually take what God had given to me and to use it for his glory. And I'm looking across the room right now and I'm looking at a whole bunch of gold nuggets. And some of you are a little bit more exposed than others, and some of you are buried right down there in the dirt. But can I tell you today, friend, that God wired you, called you, purposed you, destined you with gifts. And he's got something in you that he wants to bring out of you. And our role as believers and responsibility to one another is to actually dig out the dirt, see past the dirt, and call out the gold in each other. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through to 8, and I'll preference it with this. We were singing songs today about being a living sacrifice and what it means, and some of the language around it was like, I want to be the oil, I want to be the sacrifice, I want to be a laid down lover all my life. This idea of being a sacrifice, the lyrics are always tied to scripture. And it's really important that you understand the context of what you sing. Because it's easy to be like, I want to be a laid down lover. I want to be a sacrifice. Because sometimes sacrifice actually means what it means. There's a sacrifice. And this is what the scriptures say about it. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of yourself, not to think himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being of one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts, everyone say gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Everyone say us. The next verse says, let us use them. It goes on and lists gifts. It says, a prophecy, and let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us minister. And if he is teaching, it is teaching. And he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives to give liberally. Did you know that giving is a gift? And he who leads to lead with diligence, and to he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We get a descriptor of what the Bible calls these gifts, to help us understand that God has given to each one a gift. Poke the person next to you and tell them, you have a gift. You're a gold nugget. There is gold gold in each inside of every single one of you. And the Bible says that we are to use those gifts. See, every person carries a God-given capacity and a gift. Some are called to serve, and some are called to lead, and some are called to administrate, and some are called to come alongside with mercy. Some are called to come alongside and teach. Some are called to come alongside and encourage and build up and strengthen. And the Bible talks about different gifts. This is one of the passages. There's three passages that talk about the gifts. You've got these kind of like motivational gifts, and then you go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and you've got the ministry gifts, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, you have the manifest gifts that just manifest when we are locked into the place that God has called us to be, and we lean into what He wants to do in and through us. They manifest itself through us. And they're beautiful things that are found in the Word of God, but it's all for His glory. It's all for His glory, for nothing else than His glory. And there's only one reasonable act of service in the kingdom of God, and that is a living sacrifice, serving for His glory. This isn't to build an empire. This isn't to have your status. This is for His glory. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through to 11. Again, the heading of this one is serving for God's glory. And verse 7 says this, "But the end of all things is at hand." Hello. "And therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Friends, there is gold inside of you. There are gifts inside of you that the Lord has put there that He wants to be used for His glory. And they are special gifts. And the thing is, they are there that we might minister to one another, to serve one another. There is no such thing as this status in serving in the kingdom of God. Do you remember Jesus had the conversations with the disciples when they got super excited about the gift moment that they had gone out, laid hands on people, people were healed, demons came out of them, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, Lord, this is amazing, this is amazing." And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus says, "Hey, don't rejoice in the fact that demons submit to you, but rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Friend, does heaven know your name? Does heaven know your name? Because there's a gift inside of you where heaven is meant to know your name. There is something that the Lord wants to do through you where heaven knows your name. And it's not for the sake of your own salvation. It is for the purpose of others finding Christ. It is for the purpose of others being built up. It is for the purpose of the body of Christ being built up into the body that she's called to be. And aren't you glad that we actually don't all have the same gift? Could you imagine if you were all like me? Like, you're seriously, I look in the mirror and sometimes I have a problem myself. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has surrounded me with others who have gifts that differ from mine. You know, I often say this sometimes in conversations to some people I'm more comfortable with. I'm comfortable with you, so let's go with it. You know, the body is a unique thing. And there are different parts of the body that may not necessarily ever get along with each other. Like the nose is never going to like the armpit, right? But they're both essential parts of the body. And the Bible says that each part has its function. Now, I'm not going to suggest to you today that you're an armpit or a nose. I might suggest that you're a hand or a foot, or I might suggest that you're the neck, or I might suggest that there's some other part that you play just to alleviate some of the tension that you're already feeling in trying to figure that out. But friend, your gift is essential to the body of Christ. Your gift is essential to God outworking His purposes and plans in the kingdom of God. The question is, what are your gifts? See, it's really interesting. Tozer says this, A.W. Tozer says this, a true servant does not seek to make himself known, but to rather to make Christ known. And our gifts and talents. Man, I don't know where you started out, but let me tell you, Mother Teresa started out as a teacher, a school teacher who went to the slums, and she lived in amongst the people that she served. And she said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things. In the places that you and I abide. I went through and had a look at a few lists of different people and where they started and what they did. But this, at the end of the day, is so significant and important. There's no status in serving. I am not better because I'm the pastor. Let me say that again. I am not better because I am the pastor. I am one part of the body. I am playing the part that God has called me to play. The question is, are you and I aware of the gifts that He's given to us so that we can play our part so the body does its thing? I got a friend here today, caught them as they came in, and Billy, she broke her leg jumping on a trampoline while she was on holidays and really broke it, like really broke it. She's in a boot and she's got a bit more mobility than she's had previously, and it's getting there. She's got 4 more weeks to go, but you know, she can't function like she's meant to function because something's damaged, something's hurt, something's broken, something's not working. Can I suggest to us today that as the body of Christ, if you don't have your part that you play, something's broken, something's damaged, something's not working. I value the different gifts on people's lives, the gift of mercy, the gift of exhortation, the gift that manifests itself in somebody else's body when they need healing and they pray and healing breaks out. I value the gifts of administration because I'm not great at administration. But I've got a great bunch of people around me who are. Do you know that right now our kids' ministry is having to go through a season of rebuilding and regathering people to engage in that space to serve? And in that kids' ministry right now, they're going to have to make some calls and decisions around potentially whether they cap the kids' ministry at a certain level because they only have so many leaders to kids' ratios. And yet I look across the room and I go, oh, wow, we've got a whole bunch of people in here who actually may be gifted in a space to work with kids. But maybe you don't know that you're gifted for that space. Or maybe you've just never considered it. Or maybe you've thought, oh, this thing runs on its own. They don't need my help. Friend, can I just say, if you're not part of using your gifts and talents in the house of God, our house doesn't function properly. The body can't be the body if it's limping along. We need every part to play its part. A funny story. I was talking to someone and they're like, oh, you know, I've served my time. I was like, say what? Oh, you know, you young ones now can step in and you can serve and engage. I was like, whoa, hang on. No. Our God is a generational God. From one generation to the next. And I'm telling you right now, Liz is on platform, as well as Barry and as well as others who are serving in the house of God because they're needed. Yep. Not because there's gaps. We can fill the gap with a whole bunch of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, but that's not helpful for building the whole body, which is multi-generational. Every generation has a part to play. You know what gets me really excited? Andrew here on the second row, the quietest man you'll meet. Incredible. Stepped into retirement and stepped into serving the Lord. Unbelievable. I'm going to assume for retirement's sake that he's over 65. Maybe he's that blessed that he was able to do it at 60. I don't know. But age doesn't stop you from engaging in the kingdom of God. Andrew serves in our intercessory space and administrates that area. He serves in our Empower, our mature adults ministry. He's engaged in connecting people into those spaces, meeting with them, praying for them. He leads a whole thing of oversight of prayer needs that is going on. If somebody is praying for you when your prayer requests come through on a regular basis, because he chooses to lay down and serve and take his place in the body of Christ. These things bring me great joy. I love seeing people activated in their gifts and talents. I get no greater joy than watching someone else step back. I'm like a proud mum. I'm like, oh, would you look at that? Look at Jeremiah. He started out in August and didn't know how to do that. Now he's out teaching other people how to do that. Friend, what's inside of you? What's inside of you? Pastor Barry and Margaret are another couple in this church that I admire. Pastor Barry is an absolute gift. He's been in ministry in the past. He's retired. But do you know he still mentors people in this church of the next generation? You know, he shares the word regularly, not only in this platform, but in our mature adults space. He actually brings out his ukulele, leads them in worship. There's no greater joy than seeing some of these things. I love it. He has a gift of exhortation. He's always encouraging someone, building somebody up. I'll tell you what. Those who find their place and serve find contentment in the Lord because they're using the thing that God gave them to use. It's funny, I went to the dog park Saturday. And I had my sister down for her birthday. We're having a bit of a celebration the night before, and we went to the dog park, and we're walking through the dog park, and my sister has got these slides on and no socks, which to me is a crime. If you're going to wear slides, you have to wear socks. Some may disagree with me, but Erin and I have this conversation regularly. She gets frustrated with me. But my sister had bare feet and a rubbing, and she got this blister. So she's walking, we go to the cafe, we get a coffee, we're standing there, she takes off her thing and she's like, oh, look at that, I got a blister. Meanwhile, Erin has walked with us through the dog park and found a fully contained Band-Aid in its wrapper on the ground. So she's picked it up and she's trying to shove it into the back of her phone. And my sister's sitting there going, oh, I've got this blister. And she breaks the back of her phone trying to shove this Band-Aid in. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, she's got a blister. Oh! And she had this moment where she just totally missed it. She had something that could be of a benefit to somebody else, but just kept it. I asked her if I could share this story before I shared this story with you all. But I thought, how often is that like us in the body of Christ? You've got a gift. You've got a gift. You've got a gift. You've got a gift. I feel like Oprah. Oh, you've got a gift. You've got a gift. And yet, shoving it away. And someone's like, oh. I'm telling you right now, the body of Christ has needs. What gift do you have to play part of it? Now, you know what? I recognize that I have a gift to preach, to declare, that's been developed over 20 years, but that's not all I do. And I actually got frustrated being in church just maybe like you. Someone would get up and talk all about it. But then what was my next step? I got good news. I got a next step for you. I got a next step for you. Because some of you are here in this room and you're like, oh, I don't even know what gifts I have. Some of you are in this room and you're like, I've been around the church for years. I've got gifts, but I'm not using them. Let me tell you, there's a person with a blister that needs it. And some of you are here today and you've done like gift surveys for days and trying to figure things out. And some of you ran with, I'm gifted at this, but no one confirmed it. So you're running in a lane that's not yours to run because it was ambition and not actually gift or grace. Friends, we actually want to help you. We want to do the journey with you. And so we've actually created something that's going to help you discover it. But let me tell you this first. Your gifts are best discovered in discipleship. They're best discovered in discipleship because people recognize it and call it out. But maybe you've just joined this church and you haven't yet found a life group. We're going to help you out today. We're going to help you out today and connect you with something that's going to help you discover your gifts. Now, this is not a stock standard gifts test that you could find in some growth track somewhere. This is tailored specific to this house. Why? Because you're a part of this body. And there are members in here who have functions which need to function. And I want to invite you into that space today. Now, it's not all encompassing of everything, but it's going to help you today. So what can you do? Firstly, you can do this survey, which you will find on a QR code either out in the foyer today, where there are a bunch of team that would love to connect with you, or you can catch it from one of our leaders and departments. They've been sharing it out, getting people ready for it today to help you discover it, but to do a sensible appraisal of the gifts that are on your life. First, let me say this. The self-assessment will actually just help you for those who don't know. And for those who do know, you just need to join a team. But secondly, let me say this. You need people to affirm the gift on your life. Mature believers, not your peers. Mature believers who can actually affirm the gift of your life and on your life. People who can actually call out and give you a fruit evaluation on your life. It's one thing to say, I'm an orange tree, I'm an orange tree, I'm an orange tree, I'm an orange tree. But I got bananas. Right? You've got to have the affirmation of mature believers in and around your life to help you. And then there needs to be character alignment, because I tell you what, we know it. If there ain't no character, that gift will take you places where your character can't sustain it. And we need to make sure that you're set in a space and a place where the gifts on your life are released, but there's accountability around them to help you on the journey. Because there's no point addressing or even assessing your gifts and addressing those things if you actually don't apply them. So how to engage? Maybe you're here today and you just love going to Bunnings. Anyone love going to Bunnings? Yeah, amazing. There's a working bee on at the end of the month. I want to encourage you to come to our working bee. Those who typically love to go to Bunnings, do things, get things, build things, play with things, we've got a space for you. Or maybe you love the idea of praying in deep intercession for the needs of the people in the family of God. We've got a space for you. There's a place and a space for everybody because all have been given gifts. And so what we're going to help you do is we're going to help you realize where are you called to be released to serve and to lead. For some of you, you're leaders in the marketplace, you're leaders in your business, and you have a gift of leadership. For some of you, you know that you are called not to lead, but to serve. And we're going to help you work that through. And for some of you, you're going to be exceptionally gifted and graced in a space of administrating and building and strengthening things for the kingdom of God. And so I want to share with you today that upon doing that assessment of the gifts, it's going to help you. But if you're here today and you know, I just need to make a decision to get all in and join a team, Here it is. On the screen behind me, you're going to see a number of the different teams that we have categorized and put together for you today to be able to find a place for you to be able to connect your gift and actually serve in it. There are six different areas. Those six different areas are comms, creative, discipleship, generational ministry, services, and outreach. How did I forget that one? And outreach. And there are different subcategories that you can engage in. And we as a team have sat and determined that these are the spaces in which if the body of Christ comes together and takes its place and its function, the body will function at full capacity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around Billy with a limp. I want to walk as the body of Christ, fully healed, whole, and functioning because you played your part. So here it is. In each of these areas, there are spaces for you. In our communications area, we do things like social media, graphic design, content creation and website design and photography and videography. Now you're like, well, I don't know. Well, let me encourage you with this. The questions that are asked on this survey are something like, I notice and appreciate good photography or visuals. If that relates to you, you're probably going to find that there's a communications gift on your life somewhere that is untapped, that could be connected for you to find a place to serve. We've got 30 questions that are going to help you identify that. In our creative space, there's worship, production. Who's grateful for our worship team? I'm so blessed that they lead us into a space where we can worship together. I love it when our camera guys capture those beautiful moments and heaven opens up. I love the fact that there's someone who knows how to manage the sound so that it's not having to be squealing in my ears or in your ears. I love the fact that there are people trained in lighting. I love the fact that we have different spaces for people to contribute. Now, in our generational ministries, we cover everything. That's why it's make disciples of every generation, because we're going to get out there and actually reach, raise, and release people to do exactly that. We've got our kids ministry, our youth ministry, our young adult ministry, our adults ministry, our mature adults ministry, known as Empower. And these spaces have a space for you to be able to lead in. In our discipleship space, there's courses, there's facilitation of life key courses, there's life groups, there's water baptism spaces, and there's foundation courses that you can be a part of. In our outreach, we have street outreach, we have university outreach, we have youth outreach, we have healing rooms that happens every couple of months. We have our regular services, where we have our welcomes team, our ushers, our resource center, our hospitality, and our events. Pastor Joe hit on it before, but maybe you feel called to ministry and you've been weighing up with the Lord. How do I step into this space? Or maybe you have a gift to organize and administrate and plan, and you could jump into our events coordinator role. It takes all of the things and pulls it all together so that our teams on a Sunday can serve. There's a space and a place for everybody. And friend, I would love to find the gold in you. Now, I can't get to all 800 people that are coming across our services, both in an AM and a PM. I can't know every single one of you. But there are teams and there are leaders and there are staff members and there are volunteer leaders. There are people who have literally got your next step for you and want to connect you to that. Friend, you play a valuable part in the body of Christ. This is the last scripture I want to take you to, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or to freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but rather love and serve one another. Friends, we've been given gifts. And one of our values for this release area is that honor affirms value. We want to see the God and the gold in the gift in you. And we don't want to stumble over the dirt to get to that. But we also recognize that freedom is a responsibility, and that is one of our values. Freedom is a responsibility. And that responsibility falls on you to ask yourself, am I stewarding my freedom responsibly? Am I stewarding the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to me? Am I using them for His glory? I recognize that today some of you are made super uncomfortable and some of you are like, this is just affirming everything I do. But the body's not the body if every part's not playing its part. And so if this is your home and you know that you've got gifts, the team are going to be out in the foyer today and you know what those gifts are. They're going to be out there to connect with you and help you to your next step. And for others, there's going to be a QR code out there where you can discover your gift because you're not sure. In the context of this house, this church, the family that you're a part of. And for others, you simply know your place and you serve. And I would encourage you to actually engage with someone today and invite them to come serve. Because how are we going to make disciples of every generation? By every person playing their part with their gift, with their talent, by reaching one, raising one, and releasing somebody else. Because that's why you and I are here today. Because 11 men took the commission that the Lord gave, Jesus gave to them, and made disciples. And you and I are here because someone did it for us. So let's do it for them. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.